NI versus AI podcast, episode 2. This is my third take on this. I recorded one on Saturday the 7th, one on the 10th, and wasn't too happy with either of them, although I did say some kind of cool things. So I'm going to try and get it right this time. I'll start off by recapping episode 1, in which I defined NI versus AI, and the main difference is that natural intelligence comes from within. It's inside out. It comes from within you. You affect the world. You're a creative force. And artificial intelligence is sort of told what to do. It's given its marching orders by its programmers. And then it's given its data. And when prompted, it will return some result for you. Not unlike computers have always been, but it's not self-aware. It doesn't have agency. It doesn't really have an effect on the world. It can't decide to do something and then do it. It can't change its own algorithm, change its own way of thinking. And I also mentioned that a lot of people are artificially intelligent, and that I'm open, in other words, they've been told, what to think, how to think, what to think about, and that's pretty much all they do, what they're told, and believe what they're told to believe. And, it's kind of sad, but that's how we're trained because of, again, recapping the conspiracy reality in which we live. It's not a theory. There are, there's a hierarchy, and there are people at the top of it who are kind of a bunch of clowns, and from all appearances, they don't seem to like us much or think much of us, but they do everything they can to make us artificially intelligent so we can run their machine and make them richer, and do everything they can to suppress our natural intelligence so that we don't question things. All right, so that's the recap. Today I want to talk about biology and spirituality. And you may think, well, that's kind of weird. Why, those two things aren't related. They are. And I am not, I'm open to the idea that perhaps one day AI can become sapient. When I say AI, I mean machine AI can become sapient within a non-organic body. But I don't see that happening now. And I want to talk about the organic body and the other bodies that we human beings have. So, in Hinduism, for example, I believe you have 1, 2, 3, 4 bodies. The physical body is called the shit body in Hinduism, and this is where most of us live. Physical body is encased in the emotional body and connected to the emotional body through the gut, and actually through all of our aches and pains and feelings of elation and all that. The physical body does affect the emotional body and vice versa. You've heard thinking with your gut. Well, it turns out there are more neurons in your digestive system than there are in your brain. So, that's valid. Go with your gut. That's like go with your emotional kind of base response. And then the emotional body is enclosed by the intellectual body. And the intellectual body is, obviously you're connected to your brain and it's how you think about things. And again, these things are all connected. They all affect each other. The intellectual body is enclosed by the spirit body, and the spirit body is enclosed by the Atma, the highest self. I like to think of it as, if 3D reality is a video game or a virtual reality, the player is the Atma. And let's talk about getting in touch with your highest self, your soul, whatever you want to call it. Back to biology, DNA. Now, your scientists today will tell you that only about 5% of your DNA is used for encoding every single cell in your body, which is amazing when you think about it. So what does the other 95% do? Well, according to your scientists, it's junk DNA, which is stupid because nature doesn't waste anything. The closest thing to junk in nature is heat, right? Heat is kind of the garbage dump of the energetic world. All energy that reaches its entropic state and is kind of used up, ends up as heat. And even heat is useful, right? Because it would kind of suck to have to live in absolute zero all the time. So nature doesn't waste anything. So the idea that nature would waste 19 out of 20 parts of our DNA is absurd. Your science is junk. What science should be doing is looking at that other 95% of DNA and seeing what it does. I have some theories on that, but I won't bore you with them. I happen to think that one of those theories is that somehow it encodes your soul, carries the lessons that your ancestors learned and things like that. Linguists have looked at DNA, junk DNA, and found that it resembles language. So maybe at some point science will become enlightened and decide to figure out what that so-called junk DNA is actually all about. It's kind of funny because science is always like that, right? There's always something that we can't observe directly, like electricity, right? Just a couple hundred years ago, people saw lightning, you know, they felt sparks on their sweater or whatever. They saw the effects of electricity, but they couldn't explain it, right? So science eventually figured it out. And I think it's going to be the same way with a lot of so-called paranormal phenomena, which are, you know, basically sort of seen by quantum physics experiments, entanglement, and so forth. So the point is, biology and the physical world are not entirely separate from the naturally intelligent you, the player, your highest self, the one that's really pulling the strings. And you know, another example would be like the chakras, and we'll go back to conspiracy reality for a second here. The rulers of this realm try to keep us all kind of trapped in our red chakra, our butthole chakra, you know, the sacral chakra, which is concerned only with survival, and it's, you know, very fear-based, and, you know, that's what the whole monetary system is all about. And then if you do happen to raise your kundalini out of that, then they want to trap you in your second chakra, your sex chakra, your gonads, your orange chakra, make them into all, you know, sex fiends, and, you know, that's why things are so hypersexualized. And then if you do get out of that, then you attract their attention. Oh, this guy might be middle management material. He's up to his solar plexus chakra. You know, solar plexus is willpower and, you know, control over one's life, things like that. And then, you know, here's where they get scared, because they are not there themselves, I don't think. And that is the heart chakra, the green chakra, the G in Roy G. Biv, you know, the center. This is where you love, you know, this is where you are able to realize that you're just one of the brotherhood of man, you know, and you're able to care about other people and care about the world and care about animals and, you know, care about things. That's the heart chakra. And then, of course, you go above that, you're in the throat now, the blue chakra, communication, being able to express yourself. You go above that, now you're in the third eye, which is misunderstood. A lot of people think it's woo-woo, you know, telepathy and ESP. It's not, it's just cognition. The example I gave you of the moon landing is an example of knowing something through the third eye, right? You've taken a bunch of information, thought about it, and arrived at the truth. That's the third eye. And then the crown chakra is the one that I myself very rarely open. That's the top of your head, and that's what connects you to, you know, spirit or creator or source or God or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, and all these things are, of course, you know, connected to your biology in very tangible ways. So you've got physical reality writ large. Think of the physical body, right? And it sounds weird because last time I told you, and this time I told you, natural intelligence comes from the inside out. And you think, well, you know, that's the shit body, right? But no, the shit body is connected to the other bodies. Like, there's a larger reality, which is, we can observe the effects of it, just like the ancients observed the effects of, you know, lightning. But we can't really explain it yet. You know, there's all this other stuff going on. And intuition, you know, and love, and spirituality, and you know, these things are real. And our physical reality is, in a way, you can think of it as kind of a cage or a prison or a box or something, in which we're, our spirits are constrained within these rules of physical reality, but they're not really. Only the shit body is constrained by those rules. And even then, you know, miracles happen all the time with people's bodies. People heal themselves from disease by just telling themselves that they're healthy and stuff like that, you know, the placebo effect, whatever. Anyway, so if you want to access your natural intelligence, meditate, go within your shit body, you know, feel your energy rising up through your chakras, do exercises, yoga, whatever, to unblock those energy flows, and control your breath. That's very important. Breath is life, so control your breath, control your life. I'll leave you with two meditation techniques that are very simple that anyone can do. And if you do these for 5 minutes a day for 2 weeks, I promise you, your life will get, you know, better. Your consciousness will improve. And if not, then what did you lose? 5 minutes a day for a couple weeks? All right, so the first one is, think of four syllables that mean nothing. Just gobbledygooks, you know, syllables that mean nothing. Bla-gi-dum-ba, bla-gi-dum-ba. And close your eyes and just let that silly mantra go through your head until it's all you can hear. The fact that there's no meaning attached to those sounds, you know, will help to clear your cluttered thoughts out. You know, just sit there and breathe deeply and focus on your mantra as much as possible. If you can do that for 5 minutes, you'll see, but you can probably do it for longer. And then the other one is the old-fashioned good old Om. This one is resonant, so it helps if you actually vocalize it. You can vocalize your silly mantra too, but Om is actually a powerful frequency, so you can sit with yourself. It's best to do it after exercising, and just the frequency is something like Om, and then you inhale. So inhale deeply and exhale Om, and do that for 5 minutes, and yeah, you'll feel something. And, you know, good luck. I hope you're able to get your energetic body moving up through your physical body and feel all those connections and feel how the greater reality is far bigger than the physical reality and far faster, you know. Speed of light is about as fast as you can go in 3D space, but you can go a lot faster than that in quantum reality, in the realm of consciousness, in your natural intelligence. So good luck. May you be naturally intelligent. May you not believe anything, including all the things you believe and including everything I just said, until you see it in action for yourself or have arrived at that truth for yourself. And until next time, have a great day, night, morning, whatever it is where you are. Peace.